This is Sender Haber. I'm the rabbi in Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk might sound a little familiar because, unfortunately, we were in the news recently. We lost one of our favorite rabbis in a very tragic way. He was a hero. He ran in to try to save a child, one of his students, who was in the ocean, and there was a crazy riptide came, swept him out to sea. So it's been quite a number of weeks here. The reason I agreed to this call was, A, because I was asked to say a Dvar Torah, and how could I say no, but also I really want to say thank you to Klal Yisrael, people I never knew existed, people I never knew that, if they knew that Norfolk existed, just been a beautiful, beautiful achdus, outpouring of Klal Yisrael, both in the tefillos, in the prayers, in the support, people coming to search. It's just really, really been heartening. So if I was asked if I could say something, a Dvar Torah, how could I say no? So that's the first thing I would say is thank you. I want to share a little bit of Torah. It says in Sefer Shoftim, in the book of Shoftim, it says that we know that when the Jewish people were about to enter the land of Israel, so Hashem said, you're going to enter the land of Israel, and Moshe was very disappointed. He wouldn't be allowed to enter the land of Israel, but there were two and a half tribes, Reuven, Gad, and half of the Shevet of Manasseh. They said, we don't want to go to Israel. We'd rather stay on this side of the Jordan. We'd rather stay on the eastern side of the Jordan. So at the time, Moshe made a deal with them. He said, look, you can't just stay here and let everyone else go to war. We have to stick together as a nation. So what you need to do is, if you agree that you're going to accompany all of the Jewish people to war, and then you're going to come back, and you want to settle on the eastern side of the Jordan, that's fine, but first you need to help everyone else conquer mainland Eretz Yisrael. So as you go into Sefer Yehoshua, and Sefer Shoftim, we see that Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh kept their side of the deal. They followed the Jewish people into the land of Israel. They helped the Jewish people conquer the land of Israel. They were on the front lines of many of the wars. And then finally, Yehoshua says to them, look, you kept your promise. You can go back to the west side of the Jordan. And sure enough, that's where they settled on what's called the Transjordan, the west side of the Jordan. And that's where they settled. So a number of years went by, and you have most of the Jewish people are in mainland Eretz Yisrael, what we call Israel today. Two and a half tribes are on the other side, on the eastern side of the Jordan. And suddenly they get news that the people on the eastern side of the Jordan are building themselves a temple. They're building themselves their own Beis HaMikdash, their own Mishkan. They're building for themselves on the eastern side of the Jordan. Now, this brought back very bad memories. This sounds like a Chet HaEgel, sounds like a golden calf, sounds like a Vodah Zarah, sounds like idol worship, sounds like the opposite of Moshe's deal, that we all got to stick together, you got to fight for us if you're going to live there. And suddenly they're building their own Beis HaMikdash, they're building their own temple, and everyone got very, very upset. This is not allowed. We have one Mishkan. At the time, I believe the Mishkan was in Shiloh. We have one tabernacle. That's where we go. That's where we all daven towards the whole world. Wherever you are in Eretz Yisrael is davening towards this Mishkan. You can't just go and start your own temple. So they have to figure out who are they going to go to who's going to make a scene. And what I'm saying is not Midrashim, it's clear Psukim in the book of Shoftim. They said, we need to find somebody who's going to be willing not just to fight for Jewish values, but to fight for Jewish values against other Jews. Till now, there hadn't been any big fights against other Jews. We're going to have to go to war. And so they got all of those 9.5 tribes that were on the western side of the Nile in mainland Eretz Yisrael. All of those 9.5 tribes got together. They formed a militia, and they needed to find someone to lead their militia. They needed to find a gadol. They needed to find a leader to lead their militia. And the obvious choice was Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas from this week's parsha. Pinchas was very, very old by then. He had been one of the spies who came to look at Yericho. At this point, he's very old, but Pinchas had a reputation. Pinchas was the one who, when nobody really wanted, he had a son who was supposed to be a leader of the tribe of Shimon. He was doing something very illicit in front of all the Jews. Nobody wanted to start up with the leader of the tribe of Shimon. Even Moshe and Aaron inexplicably were just standing there. They didn't know what to do. Pinchas was the one who went to Moshe. He said, "Aboil arami kanoim poigo." Something in this kind of a case, we're supposed to kill them on the spot. The judge, jury, and executioner. Moshe said to Pinchas, "Krayona de igrisa iu sahavalu pravanka." Said, "Why don't you carry that out yourself?" And sure enough, Moshe went, Pinchas went, took a spear, and he killed Zimri and Cosby. So now the Jewish people, 9.5 tribes, need to find somebody who's going to lead them in their charge against Menashe, against Reuven, and against God for building this temple, this foreign temple on the eastern side of the Jordan. Who are they going to get? Let's get Pinchas. He's our zealot. He's our hothead. He's the one who's willing to stand up for what's right. He's the one who's willing to go and kill other Jews. Let's get Pinchas. So they went and they got Pinchas. He's what they call nowadays a kanoi. He's the one who's going to stand up for what's right. And so they went, the delegation went. They said, we've got the militia ready. We've got everyone ready. We know what they did is terrible. What they did is awful. We cannot have the Jewish people splitting up. We cannot have Jewish people worshiping foreign temples. Please lead us in battle. And Pinchas astounded them. That same Pinchas who was judge, jury, and executioner a couple years ago when he had to go and shish kebab, Zimri, and Cosby, Pinchas says to them, one second, let's wait, let's go talk to them. Let's find out what's going on. They were shocked. So Pinchas went, he took a delegation. They go to the tribe of Menashe, the tribes of Reuven and Gad, and they say, hey, what are you doing? They say, you're building a temple. What's going on? And they said, well, it's not really a temple. It's really just a monument. We're not going to bring korbanos here. We're not bringing sacrifices here. This is not about avodah zarah. It's not even about building a separate mishkan. None of that's true. We understand that the Jewish people have to be united. We're just worried. We're worried that our children are going to grow up. They're going to think that we're not really part of the Jewish people because we're across the Jordan. So we built a monument, a way to remember that there's a Mishkan in Shiloh. We want to remember the Mishkan in Shiloh, so we built a monument here. Pinchas went back, explained it to everybody else, and everyone said, okay, and he averted a great amount of bloodshed. So what we see from that story is, A, about Pinchas, that he wasn't just a hothead. He did what had to be done at every specific time. In the time that we discuss in this week's parsha, he had to go on the spot. It says even it's the type of halach you don't even ask a shiloh for, on the spot. He had to go and he had to kill Zimri and Cosby on the spot. But that very same Pinchas, when it came time to reason, when it came time to have a discussion, when it came time to find out what's going on, what's supposed to happen, he did that. And that's something we have to realize. There's a value out there in the world of, you know, you have to be a hothead, you got to do what's right. That's not really the value in Judaism. In Yiddishkeit, the value is we do things because they're the right thing to do. Sometimes the right thing to do is to take action immediately. That's what we discussed Pinchas did in this week's parasha. And sometimes the right thing to do is to stop and say, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? Do you have a reason for what you're doing? Maybe we can discuss this. It's also something that we can do. And I think the guiding factor there has to be the Torah. If we have Torah in our lives, then the Torah is our guide. Our guide is not the fact that I'm not scared to say something. Our guide is not the fact that we act quickly. Our guide is not the fact that you know we let our temper speak to us, and our guide's not the fact that we want to do everything slowly and quietly and speak it out. Our guide is, what does the Torah want me to do in this case? And the only way to get there is to be completely saturated with Torah, so that when the time comes, we know what to do immediately. If we're not totally saturated with Torah, then we won't know what to do immediately at that moment. So I think, without getting into detail, I think Rabbi Bauman, at the moment, he made a split-second decision to jump into water to save a young man, a little boy. And that was a split-second decision he made. Based on his Torah, that was a decision he made. And it shows where his mind was and where his mind was steeped. But also, I just want to mention something else. I was on a boat, and we were searching for Rabbi Bauman. There were searchers there. There were volunteers came from all over the place to search. And I'm with these two young men from in their early 20s, not even, from Silver Spring. And they were there, they're searching, and they had gotten up early, early in the morning, and they'd been searching all day to the point where they asked me, they said, did we have to daven shachris this morning? Because they're in the middle of a mitzvah, they're searching for someone in the water. They were searching for Rabbi Bauman. They wanted to know, did they have to daven shachris or not? That was a discussion that we had. Maybe they were potter from shachris. How can you daven shachris? You're searching the water, trying to find somebody, trying to rescue somebody, or at least trying to find their body, as it was. So, and then a few minutes later, as we're heading on the way back, we weren't in the search zone anymore. So this fellow tells me a Dvar Torah. And it was an interesting Dvar Torah. I said, where does it say that? He reaches into his backpack where he had nothing. He had his tefillin and his emergency supplies. And he reaches into his backpack. He has a waterproof pouch. And he pulls out a sefer with a Yalkut Me'am Lois. And he starts showing me where the Dvar Torah was. And I was flabbergasted. I said, you know, it might be a shaila if you have to daven shacharis or not, but you definitely don't have to carry a sefer around just in case you have a couple minutes when you're not searching. You have a couple minutes. Take a break. You know, call your parents. Text somebody. This guy was carrying around the sefer with him everywhere he went and sharing vertaluch and sharing avart, everything he had to do. And I think that that's really the power of the Jewish people, besides for the fact that we have achdus and we're coming together and these people were willing to give lev and nefesh, heart and soul, 24 hours, all their energy to search for someone they never met and never even heard of a day earlier. But even more than that, they're doing it with Torah, and the Torah literally in their backpack, knowing that, you know what, I'm guided by the Torah. I'm here because of the Torah. When I'm done this, I'll be back to the Torah. Before this, I was with Torah. Torah has to be our guiding factor. That's what we see from Pinchas. It wasn't that he worked quickly in this week's Parsha. It wasn't that he worked slowly in Parsha Shoftim, in Sefer Shoftim. It's that he was always guided by the Torah. I think that's something we need to learn from Pinchas, and that we can all learn from the people around us, the beautiful, beautiful Klal Yisrael, Jewish people we have around us, that Jewish people are guided by the Torah in every aspect and everything that we do. So it should be a zuchus for the neshama of Reuven Tzvi ben Menachem Yitzchak. I do want to mention that this year is a zuchus for him, and there are also other funds easy to find out there that are helping the family, and it's also a huge, huge zuchus. And I want to thank Reb J. Wyman for helping me and making this happen. Thank you.